All right. I want to ask you to turn again to Ezra chapter 4 today. Ezra chapter 4. We looked last time at this book here and looked at moving forward after exile. Of course, Ezra is one of the post-exilic books and tells the story of God's people after they left the captivity, or some of them. Remember, they had been taken captive for 70 years, and God had predicted that. And then there was actually a life after that exile. We saw last week that, you know, there's a real similarity in many ways to our present situation here, I think, and to those post-exilic people of God. You know, we've gone through in this past year kind of an exile in a way. It was much shorter, of course, and we're kind of on the other side of it now. And we're trying to figure out the way forward. But there's a similarity here. And you know, we're now in a situation where it's a little bit different than it was last year at this time. You know, many of you can remember what it was like 10, 20 years ago here in our church, and you know, that's different. And we saw last week just the fact that some of those folks there after the exile, they looked at the foundation of the temple that was being built, and they cried because it was nothing like the first one that had been built. And yet we saw that even in the midst of that, those people were able to celebrate. They actually celebrated that foundation being laid and rejoiced in the Lord because of that. And, you know, that was, we saw last week, that's something we can do as well. We can, here we are, after the exile, hopefully it's after, who really knows, but what can we do now? Well, we can rejoice because of the foundation that we have, foundation that's been laid in Jesus Christ. And we can be encouraged in a time like this. We can get to work in a time like this. And I want to just go on here this morning, look at a few more lessons from this post-exilic time here. And what can we do? What can we do after exile? Well, as we go on in Ezra 4, we see that we can expect opposition. We can expect opposition. There they were. They were trying to get this temple rebuilt, and sure enough, they had opposition. They had these people that pretended to want to join the work of rebuilding the temple, and then they turned out to be really enemies, and they ended up hiring counselors. Verse 5, verse 4, then the people of the land, Ezra 4:4, weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even under the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So these people, they start to get nasty. They weaken the work. They write this accusation. And if you read that letter that they wrote, it's recorded here in chapter 4, you see basically it was lies. It was lies. It was all lies. And they accused the people of God to the governing authorities there of actually causing sedition in the past. If you jump down to verse 15, this is part of their letter that they're writing to the authorities, asking the king for a search to be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So thou shalt find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause this city was destroyed. So you get an idea of the content of this letter, but it was lies. It was lies. And then what happened after, as a result of that? Jump down to verse 21. Verse 23. The reaction of the king to this. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up into haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they had some opposition, and they got such a great start back after the exile, and now they had this trouble. They were being falsely accused. Didn't seem to be anything they could do to fix this. It just stopped. The work just stopped. And so after the exile, what can we do? Well, we can expect opposition. Pretty much we can expect this kind of thing to happen. Our own flesh is there with us. The devil is there walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we have opposition, spiritual opposition. And but we have to remember that God can overcome that. It's never too much for God to handle. And we can trust that God will accomplish what he has started. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So yes, there will be opposition. We can expect that. We can expect it. Just as these post-exilic people faced. But then as we read on here, we come to chapter 5. Notice chapter 5 and verse 1. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of God, the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. And so we enter Haggai, Zechariah. And last week we looked at a portion of Haggai's message. And I actually want to look at another portion of it in chapter 1. Haggai, this is the commentary here at this point. Haggai chapter 1. And we have a portion of what Haggai said through God's inspiration here. Haggai 1, verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So God sent some prophets to these people. Haggai and Zechariah. We have some of their prophecies. But it was through that ministry that the work got started again. And yes, it had been stopped through opposition, but evidently there really was more to that than the opposition, or perhaps it was all mixed together. But really there was a priority problem with the people. And the prophets had to be sent and said, get your priorities right, people. Come on. Let's get to work. Let's build a house. Don't just worry about your own houses. Build the house of God. And so it was through that ministry. So what can we learn from that here after the exile? Well, we can expect opposition, but also we need to prioritize the ministry of God's Word. We need to prioritize the ministry of God's Word. That's what God sent to these people. He sent His prophets, and He sent His Word to them. And it was through the ministry of God's Word directly to them that they were able to get back to where they needed to be. They were able to get back and start this work again and continue what they had started. And so they did. And by the way, it was 16 years later. 16 years later that they got started again. 16 years had gone by since they had stopped the work. A lot can happen in 16 years. But they went back and they started again. And so we do need to be challenged. We do need to be stirred up by God's Word in this time in which we live, you know, a post-exilic time. You could think of it that way. We need that. And then something else we see with the post-exilic people of God that I believe is something that we have to deal with today, and that is the government, governmental authorities. That's something these people had to deal with. The authorities had started their work. We go back to the beginning of Ezra. Cyrus, the king of Persia, this pagan king, seemingly out of the blue, had said, issued a proclamation for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, to be allowed and go back and build. It was through that the work had begun again after the exile. And then it was through the governmental authorities that it had been stopped again. And now we see that they deal with them again here in chapter 5. How were they supposed to deal with this? How did they deal with the authorities? Well, look at verse 3 of chapter 5. Ezra 5, verse 3. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar Bosnai, and their companions, and said unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? And said we them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But then notice verse 5. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, and they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. And they returned their answer by letter concerning this matter. I think that's a key verse. How do we deal with the government? How do we deal with the governing authorities? Well, most importantly, it comes down to the eye of God being upon us. What does that mean? It means that God is looking upon us. God is looking upon us. God is aware. God is looking out for us. Think of it that way. God's looking out for us. His eye is upon us. That we have this local official that questioned their authorization, and we see in chapter 5 a search was made of the records, another letter written to the king. And then we jump ahead to the result of that in chapter 6. Look at Ezra chapter 6. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasuries were laid up in Babylon, and there was found at Akmetha, and the place that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. And there was a record thus written in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. So they found the authorization. And this other king allowed the work to go on and not be hindered. Verse 7, chapter 6, here's what he says. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. And he gives them protection, even, to do this. And the work went on, and it was built again. These were not Christians. These were not Christian kings. These were not Jewish kings. These were pagan officials. And yet God was at work with them. What can we do? What can we do when we think about the government here in this time in which we live? Well, I think we need to do the same thing that the people of God had to do, and that is we can trust God to deal with the authorities. We can trust God to deal with the authorities. We can trust God. You know, we're living in a time of great frustration with our government. Great frustration. And many of us are angry with them, and we're disappointed in this political situation which we find ourselves in. It doesn't look good on the horizon here for Christian people and for our freedoms. But ultimately, we see the scriptures. This isn't the only place. We see that God can deal with the authorities. God can deal with them. And God can change them. They come and go. They come and go. God can raise them up. God can take them down. And ultimately, yes, there are things that we can do in our society. I'm not suggesting we don't stand up for our rights where we need to. Vote, of course, things like that. But ultimately, God is the one that we need to trust to deal with our authorities. Not up to us to manipulate. We see, even in these post-exilic believers, we see a certain attitude that they have toward the authorities. It's a respectful attitude. And, you know, as much as I don't like the things that are happening, I think the scriptures are very clear that we need to respect our authorities. And it's easy for us to get into a bashing kind of mentality, which isn't good, even if we disagree with them. And we see this this attitude, even in the post-exilic books here, of one of respect, but ultimately trusting God. Trusting God to deal with the authorities. God is able to do much more than we could ever do, than any human could ever do with them. And I know it's not easy, but we have to trust the Lord. So what can we do? What do we do in this time which we're in? It's kind of a post-exilic time in a way, not quite the same, but I think there are some real similarities to the situation that we find ourselves in right now and the situation that God's people were in back then. We can expect opposition, and we'll certainly face that. We can prioritize the ministry of God's word. We need that to help us go in the right direction, just as God's people did. And as we deal with the government, deal with our authorities, most of all, our trust needs to be in the Lord to deal with them. The eye of God upon us. And pray that God would have his will and do what he would have us to do in the situation that we're in here now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We pray you give us wisdom in this time in which we live, and we are saddened in some ways when we think back at what we had at other times, and yet, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to rejoice right now, be thankful for what we do have now. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us to trust in you as we face opposition, as even your people did. We pray that you would help us to see the priorities you would have us to have in your word. Help us to prioritize that ministry and to prioritize our own lives as you had to challenge your people back then. And Lord, give us wisdom as we deal with our government. We are dismayed in many ways as we see what's going on. But Father, we recognize that you're much greater than these officials. You can raise them up. You can take them down. You can change them. You can give us protection. We pray that you would do that and give us the right attitude that we ought to have in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, want to take some time for prayer here. And so there is a prayer sheet that's available. It says February 8th. If you don't have that, it is out there, I think, both sides. And so we want to go over that. It's good to see the Margraffs and the Wilkinsons back here. They were away last week for the funeral of Mac Hay as he had passed down in Tennessee. So praise that they made it safely back. And the report was, I think it was a good funeral. And let's pray for his family. So remember them. And it's good to see Mr. Lewis here again. And he is still dealing with his knee issues. And you want to give an update on that?
They're going to have to do a manipulation, put me under. But they had it all set up. I was going to go tomorrow at Orthopedic One. And then I got a phone call with my past history of my heart. They don't want to do that, so they want to put me in the hospital. And then now we got a schedule for them. So I'll probably know more about it Tuesday. But it's definitely going to have to be manipulation. Now it's just a matter of when. So we thought everything was right together there Friday. I told them the dog was here because everything was just fitting like a puzzle. And then Friday evening they called me and said, cardiologist is on me in the hospital. So that's good.
All right, so pray for Steve. He's got to have this procedure, manipulation procedure, and but not sure on the scheduling yet with it. So.
And they did mention March, and I thought, well, I don't know.
So pray that it would happen sooner rather than later. You'd be able to get it done and move on.
Just a little deal kind of blew up. But God the Lord is on us.
Amen. All right, any other prayer requests or praises you'd like to mention this morning? Yes, Heather.
This administrator at Isaac Ann Walker School passed away in her sleep this week. So pray for the family of Peggy Jumper and also for the school as they figure out how to replace her for the rest of the year.
Okay, so Isaac Ann Walker School administrator passed away in her sleep this week. Her name was Peggy Jumper. And so pray that school would have wisdom knowing how to replace her. So pray for that family as well. All right, anyone else this morning? Yes, Ms. Bernard.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken for Bob. Anyone else? Praises for questions. Okay. Sue Miller not feeling well today? All right, so pray for the Millers. Okay. Anyone else?
Last week, prayed for Tim Fitzpatrick with the stroke.
Yes.
I guess he did have a minor stroke, but he's doing real well. He's home, and I guess he's going to retire. So I praise and continue to pray for him.
Okay, that's Steve's brother-in-law, Tim Fitzpatrick. He did have a mini stroke. So he was driving to Kentucky last week, but he's doing better. Going to retire.
He's going to retire.
So pray for his family. Tim Fitzpatrick, pray for him. And his family, too. Okay, anyone else? The praises, prayer requests. Just note the ones there. Not that one. The Miller's sister-in-law, Wanda, she was to have a surgery this past Friday, I believe. And pray for her. Lee had mentioned last week, a former classmate of Donna Ray needs a heart transplant. And he's 38 years old, so younger guy. So just pray for him. I'm not sure what his name is. So anything else this morning? Yes.
I'd like to ask for prayer for our son. He's got a job. He's driving to Rhode Island tonight and returning tomorrow. And it's a job, and just safety for him.
Okay. Jacob. Jake Wilkinson has got a job. He's got to drive to Rhode Island and return tonight here. So pray for safety for him. Safety in travel. Okay, anybody else? All right, pray for our annual meeting tonight. They keep predicting large snowstorms here, but I think that's going to be later, tomorrow. So I think we'll be all right. So pray for that. Pray that we'd be able to have it and move on. And then I want to mention something else that I guess we're kind of adding to the agenda tonight in a way, just for prayer mainly, but I'll mention it here. And maybe we can save the questions for later tonight. But we're just praying, the elders, we're praying about Samuel Finneran. Samuel is at a point where he, I think, would like to make a transition. And we are praying about the possibility of him coming back here to be with us, him and his family, and to serve in some capacity. And there's a lot of question marks about that would need to be answered. But it is something that we're praying about. And so we just ask you to pray for that. And again, it's something that we'll ask you to pray about again tonight. And maybe if you have other questions, we'll talk about it then. But something that we would like to see happen if the Lord would allow. And of course, he's one of our own. And we'd certainly like to see him here. But only if the Lord would allow that. And so just ask you to pray about that. So anything else? Any other praises, prayer requests? Yes.
Yes, I'll mention Bennington. We tested negative for several weeks, and they opened the dining room Friday, and we got to go back to surgical masks, and everybody was happy, and we had one positive on Thursday. So we have to go back for 14 days, no dining room, no activities. So just pray that we can get through it another week or 2 weeks and be able to kind of open things back up.
All right. Pray for Bennington Glen. They did have a positive test this past week. They're doing well, but another positive test. So pray for the staff and the residents there at Bennington Glen. All right. Yes, Dan.
over the last few weeks, my dad's been going through tests and stuff. I guess he has leukemia, like cancer in his blood or something. So they've been testing him other different ways to see if it's anywhere else or what. So far, it's not. But this is taking it out of him. So mom said he's tired all the time. He doesn't do much. Just pray for him.
What's his name again?
Greg.
Greg Cost.
Yeah,
okay. Pray for Dan's dad, Greg. He has leukemia.
That's what, yeah, mom said it. I wrote down what exactly kind it was, but I can't remember.
All right. So Dan's dad, Greg Cost, and pray for his health. Okay, anybody else? All right, well, let's take some time to pray, and we'll go ahead and divide up here with our ladies and our men out here. Ladies in the room over here.